Midnight has passed, and in the stillness of these hours, the hauntings are never silent. This is Real Ghost Stories Online, After Midnight.
The room in the row house wasn't something he had carefully chosen. It was something he had landed in. The divorce had moved faster than he expected. What had started as a long stretch of quiet tension eventually collapsed into a few uncomfortable conversations, a lawyer's office, and a deadline to move out of the apartment he had shared for years. Most of the furniture had been hers to begin with, and what little was left afterward fit into a couple of boxes and the trunk of his car. For a few weeks, he stayed with a friend, sleeping on a couch that dipped in the middle. The arrangement was temporary from the beginning. His friend had been generous about it, but both of them understood that it couldn't last long. The room in the row house appeared at exactly the right time, and it was cheap, available immediately, and located in an older neighborhood where narrow brick houses stood in long rows along quiet streets. The listing was simple: a single bedroom in a shared house with two other tenants, month-to-month rent, utilities included. Under normal circumstances, he might have asked more questions. Instead, he sent a message right away. The woman who answered had lived in the house for several years. She explained that the place had three bedrooms on the upper floors, a small living room downstairs, and a kitchen in the back. The third tenant worked odd hours and was rarely home. They met the next afternoon. The house stood halfway down a block that looked like every other block in that part of the city. Tall brick buildings sat shoulder to shoulder, their front steps rising from narrow sidewalks lined with parked cars. Each house looked almost identical to the next, separated only by small differences in paint, railings, or window frames. Inside, the place felt older than it looked from the street. A narrow hallway ran from the front door to the kitchen in the back. The staircase climbed steeply along one wall, turning sharply toward the upper floors. Like most row houses, the rooms were long and narrow, arranged one behind the other. The bedroom he was shown sat on the second floor, facing the street. It wasn't large, but it was clean. A tall window let in enough daylight to brighten the space, and the wooden floor showed the kind of wear that comes from decades of use. The bed frame belonged to the house, the woman explained, though most people brought their own mattress. He stood there for a moment, imagining what it would feel like to live there. The room wasn't impressive, but it was quiet, affordable, and available immediately. After weeks of uncertainty, that was more than enough. He agreed to take it that day. By evening, his clothes were folded into the dresser, his books stacked beside the bed, and the room had begun to feel, at least temporarily, like his own. At first, the house felt perfectly normal. People crossed paths occasionally in the kitchen or hallway, exchanged small talk, then returned to their rooms. The narrow design of the building meant that sound traveled easily between floors, footsteps on the stairs, cabinet doors closing, someone walking down the hall, but nothing about it seemed unusual. Life inside the house settled into a routine quickly. It took a few weeks before he noticed something strange about the conversations there. The first time it happened, it barely registered. A casual discussion in the kitchen about something minor, trash pickup maybe, suddenly became sharper than it needed to be. Words were spoken a little more defensively than the situation required. It passed quickly enough. A few minutes later, everyone was back to normal, but the same thing happened again a few nights later, and then again the following week. Small conversations inside the house had a way of shifting without warning. Nothing dramatic, no shouting, no slammed doors. Just a sudden edge that appeared in people's voices as though everyone involved had grown impatient at exactly the same moment. The strange part was how quickly it disappeared when someone stepped outside. One evening, he walked to a corner store with the other tenant after a brief disagreement about the temperature in the house. Inside the kitchen, the conversation had felt tense and defensive. Out on the sidewalk, it vanished almost immediately. By the time they reached the store, they were talking easily again, as if nothing had happened. At first, he assumed it was simply the nature of shared living spaces. People who spent too much time in close quarters eventually irritated each other. But after a while, he began noticing how often those moments happened inside the house. Too often. The row house itself never felt frightening. It didn't creak ominously at night or give off the atmosphere people described in ghost stories. In daylight, it looked perfectly ordinary. sunlight falling through narrow windows onto the worn wooden floors. And yet something about the place always felt slightly off. Conversations that began normally sometimes drifted into tension without explanation. Someone would say something sharper than intended. Another person would react defensively. Then the moment would pass, the house would fall quiet again. It wasn't dramatic enough to worry about. But after a while, he began to notice something else. It wasn't only the other people in the house who seemed affected by it. Slowly, without realizing it at first, he began to feel the same shift in himself. The change in him didn't happen all at once, and at first it was easy to dismiss his stress. Life had shifted quickly in the months before he moved into the row house. The divorce had rearranged everything, where he lived, how he spent his evenings, even how he thought about the future. Anyone going through something like that was bound to feel off balance for a while. So when he began noticing a low, persistent irritation settling in whenever he spent time inside the house, he told himself that was all it was. But the longer he lived there, the harder that explanation became to believe. Outside the house, he felt mostly like himself. At work, he joked with co-workers the same way he always had. When he met friends for dinner or drinks, conversations flowed easily. The heaviness that had followed him through the worst months of the divorce was slowly lifting and replaced by something closer to normal. Inside the row house, though, something always felt slightly wrong. The feeling rarely appeared the moment he walked in. Instead, it crept up slowly, usually after he had been there for a while. He would be sitting in the living room or standing in the kitchen when he would suddenly realize that his patience had grown thin for no particular reason. Small sounds irritated him. Questions felt intrusive. A harmless comment could stay with him longer than it should, turning over in his mind until it became something sharper than it had been when it was first spoken. What unsettled him most was realizing that everyone else in the house seemed to drift into the same mood at the same time. Conversations there had a strange way of changing direction without warning. Someone would make an ordinary remark, another person would answer a little too defensively. A third voice would enter the conversation with an edge that hadn't been there moments earlier. Before long, the entire exchange would feel tense, even though no one could point to the exact moment it had begun. Then, just as suddenly, the tension would disappear. Someone would leave the room. A door would close upstairs. The house would fall quiet again. After a few weeks, he began noticing another pattern. Whenever those moments happened, they happened inside the house. He had never once felt that same irritation while walking through the neighborhood or sitting in a restaurant with the same people. Even arguments that began in the kitchen seemed to lose their weight the moment someone stepped out the front door. The realization bothered him enough that he began spending less time there when he could. Still, the rent was cheap, and nothing that had happened so far felt serious enough to justify leaving. The moment that changed things came late one Friday evening. A friend of his had been visiting the city for work and suggested stopping by before heading home the next morning. Because money was still tight, inviting a few people back to the house seemed easier than meeting somewhere else. At first, the night felt relaxed. Takeout containers were spread across the kitchen table. Music played quietly from someone's phone. People moved between the living room and dining area, talking easily the way small groups of friends usually do. For a while, the house felt almost normal. Then the familiar tension began to settle in. He noticed it first in the way people started interrupting each other more often. Jokes landed wrong. Conversations began overlapping in uncomfortable ways. No one raised their voice, but the mood of the room shifted enough that everyone seemed slightly on edge. He felt it in himself, too. A friend made a casual remark about how different he seemed lately, something light. Under normal circumstances, he would have laughed. Instead, he answered with a remark so unexpectedly sharp that the room went quiet. He regretted it immediately. The words had come out faster than he could stop them, aimed directly at something personal his friend had confided months earlier during a difficult time. It wasn't just sarcastic. It was cruel in a way that felt completely out of character. For a moment, no one spoke. The look on his friend's face made it clear that everyone in the room understood that. He apologized almost immediately, but the evening never recovered. Conversation restarted in small fragments, thinner now, and before long, people began making excuses to leave. By the time the front door closed behind the last guest, the house had fallen silent again. He sat alone in his room afterward, replaying the moment over and over. The strangest part wasn't that he had been irritated. It was how precisely the remark had landed. It had felt almost automatic, as if some part of him had been searching for the most damaging thing he could say and simply waited for the opportunity. A quiet knock came at his door later that night. The woman who had been living in the house the longest stood in the hallway, leaning lightly against the frame. She asked if he was all right. He admitted he wasn't sure. After a moment, he asked a question that had been bothering him since the room had gone silent earlier. Had he seemed different since moving in? More impatient, quicker to snap. She didn't answer immediately. When she finally spoke, her voice carried the careful tone of someone choosing words slowly. She said people tended to get tense in the house after a while. Arguments started easily there. Small disagreements seemed to grow larger than they should. More than one tenant had eventually moved out after falling out with someone else in the house. She said it like it was simply a fact about the place, not a ghost story, just a pattern. And as he sat there listening, he realized something unsettling. Until that moment, he had been assuming that whatever had been happening in the house was new. But the way she spoke made it sound as though it had been happening long before he ever arrived. After that conversation, the house felt different. Not in the dramatic way people describe in ghost stories, where the atmosphere suddenly turns cold or oppressive. Nothing like that happened. The row house looked exactly the same as it had the day he moved in. Narrow hallways, worn wooden floors, the same quiet street visible through the tall front windows. But once the idea had been planted, he couldn't stop noticing things. The tension he had been experiencing suddenly felt less like random bad moods and more like a pattern that had been unfolding quietly around him the entire time. Over the next few days, he began paying closer attention. When people spent time in the house together, conversations had a way of tightening. Small remarks seemed to land harder than they should. Someone would answer a little too defensively. Another person would respond with a sharper tone than the moment required, and then the conversation would simply stop. Doors would close. The house would fall quiet again. What unsettled him most was how predictable it had become. If he spent an evening out with friends somewhere else, everything felt normal. He laughed easily. Conversations flowed without effort. The same people he had felt tense around in the house seemed completely relaxed anywhere else, but once he stepped through the front door, something always shifted. It wasn't immediate. Usually it took 20 minutes or so before he felt it begin. The slow tightening in his patience, the way harmless remarks suddenly seemed irritating, the strange sense that everyone else in the room was experiencing the same thing at the same time. He started noticing it in the others too. The person who had lived there the longest often seemed on edge in the evenings, even when nothing in particular was happening. The other tenant, who kept mostly to himself, had developed a habit of retreating upstairs quickly after brief conversations in the kitchen. No one talked about it openly, but the house seemed to create small distances between people. After a while, he began to wonder how long that had been happening before he moved in. The thought stayed with him long enough that he eventually mentioned it to someone who lived nearby. It happened one afternoon when he was sitting on the front steps enjoying a rare stretch of good weather. A neighbor from the adjoining house had stepped outside at the same time, and after a few minutes of casual conversation, the topic drifted to the row house itself. Without really planning to, he mentioned that people inside the house seemed to argue more than they probably should. The neighbor nodded almost immediately. There was no surprise in the reaction. Instead, the man leaned against the railing and said something that made the hair on the back of his neck rise slightly. People in that house never stayed very long. It had been that way for years. Tenants came and went constantly. At first, everyone seemed friendly enough, but sooner or later, the same thing always happened. Roommates stopped getting along. Small disagreements turned into lasting resentments. Eventually, someone moved out, and then someone else replaced them. From the outside, it always looked like ordinary roommate drama, but the pattern repeated so consistently that the neighbors had started noticing it. The building itself was older than most of the houses on the block. It had been divided and rented out in different ways over the decades, sometimes to families, sometimes to groups of tenants. No one had ever described anything supernatural happening there. Just a long history of people who eventually stopped getting along. The neighbor said it casually, as if it were nothing more than neighborhood trivia. That night, sitting alone in his room, he began thinking back over the months he had spent in the house. The arguments he had witnessed, the strange tension that had appeared without explanation, the cruel remark he had made to a friend that still bothered him every time he thought about it. The pattern was difficult to ignore now. Nothing violent had ever happened in the house, nothing that could be called a haunting in the traditional sense. There were no footsteps in empty rooms, no objects moving on their own, no cold spots or shadows crossing the walls at night. The house didn't frighten people. It simply seemed to change them. Slowly, quietly. Just enough that small irritations became larger than they should have been. Just enough that conversations turned sharp when they didn't need to. Just enough that people who might otherwise have gotten along eventually found themselves drifting apart. And once he began looking at it that way, he realized something else. Every one of those moments had happened inside the house. The tension rarely followed anyone out the front door. Within a few weeks, he started making plans to leave. The decision wasn't dramatic. He didn't pack his things in the middle of the night or confront anyone about what he suspected. Instead, he waited until he found another place. Nothing fancy, just a small apartment across town that he could afford on his own. Moving out took less than a day. The same boxes he had carried into the house months earlier went back into his car. By evening, his room was empty again. The narrow walls looking exactly the way they had the first time he stepped inside. The strange part was how quickly the feeling lifted once he left. Within days, the constant irritation he had been carrying around seemed to fade. Conversations with friends felt easy again. The tension that had been building between him and others gradually disappeared, including with the friend he had hurt that night at the gathering. Even now, years later, he sometimes thinks about that row house. From the outside, there had been nothing remarkable about it at all. No stories attached to it, no rumors. Just another narrow brick building standing quietly among dozens of others on the same street. But every now and then, he remembers the moment at that gathering. The words that came out of his mouth so easily. The look of shock on his friend's face. The strange certainty afterward that something in that house had pushed the moment in exactly that direction. And the thought that still bothers him isn't that the house might have been haunted. It's the possibility that it never needed to be. All it had to do was wait long enough for people to turn on each other on their own.
Want more real ghost stories? Then press subscribe now so you don't miss any of the multiple new ghost stories we drop for you every day. Only here at Real Ghost Stories Online.